You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another edition of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. This is your once-a-week edition because I have some scheduling issues that I misread text messages. I missed a few different things for Ross, so I kind of screwed things up this week. So we're just going to do a one-edition week. We're going to preview, we're going to review, and we're going to talk a little bit of Bison basketball as that's just around the corner. So joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ross Uglum. Ross, how are things going for you today?
Going well. I made mention on Twitter, it's the second time in a row that we had an NDSU and Packers loss weekend on the weekend that North Dakota State played South Dakota State. And that had not happened before in about a decade prior to this. So I've had enough.
So it's been a tough week for all of us dealing with an NDSU loss in the Dakota Market game, but especially for Ross now that his Packers, without baby Jesus himself, Aaron Rodgers, aren't quite looking like they used to. But Ross, this is a Bison podcast. Let's get into it. The news part, I know that we've been talking about one linebacker basically the entire season in terms of his injury status, but we have another Bison linebacker that may be able to play on Saturday. What is the latest?
Yeah, Levi Jordheim was taken out late in the game, had ice, it looked like, on the back of his knee, just from what I saw on TV copy. Kleiman was not super, forward with us as to what the actual deal was going to be, and basically said it's a 50-50 shot at this point. And with it being a 50-50 shot, frankly, just generally, I would guess that he'll play, but that's just a guess. Normally, the Bison staff has been pretty good about getting guys who are sort of on the periphery of being ready to go actually ready to go. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
And when you look at the latest FCS coaches poll, I want to get your thoughts on NDSU being ranked basically number two, I believe, all season long. They dropped the game to South Dakota State. Now they dropped to sixth overall on the coaches poll, and notable teams above them include Central Arkansas and South Dakota State, who just beat the Bison. What are your thoughts on NDSU now ranked sixth in the latest coaches poll?
The coaches, I mean, it's pretty easy to understand, just how irritated coaches get with North Dakota State. And it happens pretty much every time they drop a game. I mean, the resume is just not considered. Everybody else is super excited to kind of dump on the Bison and push them down. And the sixth ranking is, frankly, in my opinion, irrelevant. I think it's very clear that if North Dakota State wins their next two games, they're going to be the number two seed, with the exception of something awful happening, to James Madison. I cannot possibly imagine that it's going to go any other way, frankly. I just don't see it playing out like that. If they don't lose another game, just because you're a one-loss team. Everybody else is basically a one-loss team with the exception of James Madison. And if you complete that gauntlet, you're going to end up as the number two seed, home field throughout, and you'll end up playing, obviously JMU in the championship game in Texas should everything hold.
All right, I do want to talk a little bit of signing day yesterday. As folks know, Bison basketball, it was the early signing period, so NDSU had three guys signed. That should be no surprise to anybody that's been following Bison basketball recruiting through this podcast and through the Bison Report. Three guys inked yesterday: JUCO point guard Benny Shahid, combo guard Jarius Cook, and then wing Jackson Notech. I know you were at the press conference yesterday with Coach Richmond. Anything worth noting there, and how excited should fans be, Ross, that NDSU is able to sign each one of their three commits in the early signing period?
Well, I mean, you could definitely tell that the staff was excited, and if they're excited, then you kind of have to be excited. That's how it works. The word excited gets thrown around a lot on National Signing Day. There's no question about it. I don't think whether a coaching staff thinks it has a great class or not, they're really going to say anything other than how freaking excited they are. And I get that, but at the same time, I really do believe that this is a class that they're going to enjoy. They get Notech, who's a long shooter, which is exactly the type of team that they want to be. They want to be positionless 1-4 and have that anchor at the 5 that they recruited, of course, in Jordan Meidinger for the future. Right now, you see a guy 6'5", Paul Miller, 6'6", A.J. Jacobson. You had 6'5", Kai Cabellas. They brought in a long wing like Tyree Edey, a long wing like Tyson Ward. That's the type of team they're trying to be. At the same time, they're not going to pass up talent because it's not 6'6", and that's what they got in Jarius Cook. They got a combo guard. I think that has some room to grow physically, but his game right now is Missouri Valley level, and that's why Northern Iowa was on him. And it's a recruiting victory. And that's one thing that Richmond said in the press conference. He said the Jarius Cook recruitment felt like a victory. And then Vinny Shahid, Hopkins is high-level ball. And he was the point guard on a state championship team. I think he lost something like 6 times in high school. And I have about the same amount of respect for hashtag point guard wins as I do for hashtag QB wins. But there is something to be said for just flat out playing ball at a high level at Hopkins. And I think he can bring a little bit of depth to the point guard position after that spot was, you know, basically shattered with 33 minutes a game transferring out.
All right, final thing I want to talk about here before we get into the South Dakota State game is when you look at the Missouri Valley football standings, Ross, NDSU has a 1-game lead over 4 different schools. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe if they win against South Dakota this weekend, they will at least clinch a share of the Missouri Valley Conference title. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. It's going to be impossible for anybody to catch them at that point because the worst they could do is go out to Normal, Illinois, and lose the game, be a 2-loss team. Then you've got South Dakota with their second loss, followed by South Dakota playing South Dakota State in the final game to give one of those teams their third loss. Now, you would run into the same situation should South Dakota State run the table and NDSU drop one here. Or not drop one, that's not what we're talking about. If NDSU beats USD, goes out to Illinois State and loses, South Dakota State beats USD, then you've got co-champions with 2 losses, South Dakota State, North Dakota State, and then I guarantee you the coaching staff and fanhood of South Dakota State would be happy to point out that yet again, their co-champions, but with the Dakota marker, really feel like they should be outright champions of the Valley. With that said, I mean, I don't find that to be incredibly likely at this time. I would, despite what I saw on Saturday, pretty heavily favor South Dakota in Vermillion against South Dakota State. And I think it's a reasonably safe bet that North Dakota State wins these next 2 games.
All right, let's get into this South Dakota State game. A 33-21 loss for the North Dakota State over the weekend. You look at it, let's start on the defensive side of the ball, Ross. South Dakota State's offense racks up nearly 500 yards of total offense. And 116 of that went to Dallas Goddard on the day, 7 for 116 and a touchdown. And Ross, I know he was, very effective, more specifically when it looked like NDSU was bringing the blitz.
Yeah, that's sort of why, and I got in an argument with a guy on Twitter, and this is not my podcast to settle Twitter beefs, I guess, but at the beginning of the season, when Greg Menard was injured, and I said NDSU just lost their most important defensive player, I think it's very reasonable to say that Nick DeLuca is the defense's best player. I don't have a problem with that at all. I think it's, frankly, pretty accurate. With that said, though, he's not their most important player. The most important player is Greg Menard because of the pass rush that he brings, because of the ability that he has to harass and contain Taron Christian. Because when you blitz, and NDSU's favorite blitz has been bringing two outside linebackers to the edges and really crashing off that edge, you eliminate the second level of your defense, which would be the first level of pass coverage. And when you have nothing underneath, then what you do have are relatively easy throws to, you know, Goddard. Wenneke didn't see a lot, but certainly Goddard, because of his size, it would be great to have 6'3 Jabril Cox and 6'3 Nick DeLuca as that underneath coverage, protecting those throws, forcing those throws high, potentially still caught by Goddard, but also potentially picked off. When you don't have that first level of defense, though, Goddard can run in-breaking routes, moving back to the quarterback or moving to the sideline. You saw him do it on a number of occasions. Robbie Grimsley's a very good player, but he's not going to be able to physically match up with Goddard. He just gives up too much height and too much weight. And because Goddard's literally like a top 60 NFL prospect, he's actually not really giving up a lot of speed. I mean, he's about as fast as Robbie Grimsley is. This is an NFL-level guy. They need to have that second level, which is the first level of pass defense. They need to be able to contain guys like Christian with four guys. And that goes to Brian Shore with James Madison. That goes to maybe even potentially Chris Strebler. NDSU needs to create pressure with four, and they've done excellently the last 2 weeks. The defense has looked incredible the last 2 weeks. But they blitz their ass off in those two games too. And it's just not a viable recipe for success. It's live by the blitz, die by the blitz. And unless you have absolutely elite defensive backs, and NDSUs are very good, but if you do not have guys all across the board that can win one-on-one, you cannot bring six guys in every key passing situation.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert, as Ross says, he's a very good football player. He's probably very hashtag good. Someone that's probably going to be a top 60, top 90 NFL draft pick. So for him to be able to put up that stat line, not extremely surprising. What a little bit was surprising from Saturday, Ross, was NDSU's run defense against South Dakota State. 4.0 yards per carry, two rushing touchdowns on 36 attempts. What were your thoughts on the Jackrabbit running offense? What was so effective about it against this NDSU defense?
I really think the SDSU offensive line played over their heads. I think that they were way more effective than I thought they would be. They ran the ball, though, in the same way that every offense that's been successful against NDSU has run the ball, and that's to spread the Bison out and run in those gaps and run in bigger gaps and make the defensive linemen of NDSU be super athletic. They're very good players, but they're not incredible athletes in space, and I think, you know, you definitely saw that as a problem really repeatedly. You know, I think they just struggled, in my opinion, to contain Mangarelli and Mikey Daniels as a whole because they were so spread out, and frankly because without Jabril Cox in the first half, they were forced to play nickel the entire time. With the way South Dakota State does things, you know, Goddard's on the field the whole time. You can match him up with a guy like Jabril Cox or Nick DeLuca. They could have played more base maybe than people would think just because of how good of a passing offense South Dakota State has. People don't realize how unimpressive the rest of SDSU's roster is at the skill positions. They had some guys make some plays on Saturday, but you look at the season totals, they're not impressive at all. It's a three-man show on that offense, and they didn't show much.
And then when you look at, you know, when we transition to NDSU's offense, five turnovers for the Bison offense, three interceptions, two forced fumbles, and two recoveries for South Dakota State. Turnovers certainly didn't help NDSU's cause, especially with five turnovers. You're more times than not going to win that take-give if you give the opponent the ball that many extra possessions and probably pretty good territory. It's tough to win a ball game on the road in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, five turnovers is brutal. A lot of that's on Easton Stick. I'm still not convinced he's healthy. I don't see how you go from playing basically flawless player of the year level football, and then I notice a sack where you land awkwardly. I don't know if I can just be told and really believe it that he's just magically playing way worse. I'm not gonna. I don't know if I can buy that. Is I guess what I'm kind of saying. It really seems like it would be unlikely that Stick just, magically started playing really poorly. So I think there's a health issue there, but nonetheless, there are still some mental errors, I felt like. I thought that the double move to Erzendowski would have been a touchdown, and he threw it to the first move. That can't happen. The interception where he pump fakes to Shepard and then fires it over the middle. Sometimes you just have to take a sack. That was a pass protection issue, but still not a great decision. The last interception, I don't care about at all. That was down two scores with a minute left trying to make a play. The fumble, that's just a great play by the defense. And the Shepard fumble, frankly, is a pretty great play by the defense as well. Fumbling issues for me, if they're not mental and it's like a running back who has the dropsies, they don't bug me a whole heck of a lot. But at the same time, you have to protect the football. I don't think Easton Stick has a fumbling problem. I don't think Darius Shepard has a fumbling problem. I'm not really looking at that moving forward. I am, though, looking at Easton Stick needing to take more care of the ball. I mean, that's a definite issue for sure.
All right, and I know the final thing that, we're going poor, great, and worst. I know that you have a gripe to pick, and it may sound like a salty NDSU writer kind of talking about it, but from the evidence in your gifts or in your Twitter media, I think you have some legitimate gripes to pick with the officiating from the game on Saturday, but I'll give you a platform to talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, full disclosure, I did not make it to South Dakota State. The travel didn't work. I did not want to get a hotel. I ended up having a couple of people over. We had a couple of beverages and watched the football game. And I thought to myself, as the game was going on, that there's some consistently poor officiating, and it sort of seemed to be slanted in one direction. Again, full disclosure, I've been a Bison fan since I was 5 years old. I am in no way, shape, or form a neutral observer. I am happy when NDSU does well. It's just the way that it is, and I'm not ashamed of that whatsoever. But at the same time, you don't have to be a huge Bison fan to watch that game, watch the clips that I posted, and really struggle with some of the stuff that went on. I thought that the more egregious ones, I really, really didn't like the holding on like a 25-yard Goddard play. That one I think has picked up the most steam on social media. That's right in front of official, and there's really two holds on that play. It's I think Jared Tuska rushing from the left end position and is initially held and then kind of sort of beats the hold, which is followed then by a second hold to keep him from sacking Christian. That was really egregious. And then early on in an NDSU drive that I think would have given them the lead, ended up with no points. The pass interference, and this one hasn't gotten as much traction, but there's a pass interference with Jeff Ilias as the intended receiver. You guys can look at that on Twitter as well. I mean, he is just dragged down before the ball gets there. And to me, it's an absolute no-brainer, without any question, penalty. And it's not called. I just struggled with the officiating. I said on Twitter, and I'll say it again, I think officials have incredibly difficult jobs. I think it is oftentimes an out for fans of teams that may not be very good to continue to blame officiating for every woe that their program or favorite professional team may have. And that's not where I'm at either or where I want to be at. I'm not going to try and blame the officials for every bad thing that's ever happened to North Dakota State. With that said, I mean, it was bad. We watched it. You watched it. I watched it. It was bad. I did not agree with a lot of the stuff that went on in that game.
Well, we've been a little bit negative to start this review, so let's talk a little bit about the positives. Ty Brooks being that, 6 carries for 49 yards, an 8-yard average. His only catch in the day is a touchdown, also has a long touchdown called back. It seems like Ty Brooks is getting better and better each week, and that's very good for this Bison offense in the Missouri Valley.
I thought he was exceptional. I thought the same thing I've thought all season about him, in that he's been way more than I thought he would be. I think he's more effective than Anderson at this point. I think Bruce still struggles with really wanting to run right up the middle, right into that A-gap. Brooks has had the ability to see cutbacks, the ability to see guys miss, but really the ability to look, and this sounds strange, but just to look big enough to handle the road of an actual tailback as opposed to a jet sweep back, a pass catching back, et cetera, et cetera. But has shown the ability to succeed in the pass game as well. I mean, that wheel route I thought used to work because Chase Morlock looked like he was going to go out and block. This thing still works with Ty Brooks. But Brooks has shown the ability to block. I mean, I had a clip from an earlier game this season where I believe it's he and Anderson blocking for Dunn or he and Colefield blocking for Anderson. It's something like that. But you know, they got out and blocked, and now that's being respected, and he's able to beat defenses vertically. I think he's just a guy that needs to be on the field more, especially as they move on without Lance Dunn.
Another guy I want to talk about that had a good day, and again, it's for corners, it's again, you don't see a whole lot of it in the stat sheet. Jalen Allison on the day, 2 tackles and 1 pass broken up, but you look at the stat line for Jake Weineke, only 2 catches for 59 yards on the day. He did a great job in limiting what was a very potent two-headed attack and made it just a one-man show in Dallas Goedert.
He was very good. I thought he was exceptional all day. I really felt like the play on the ball that he made when Winicky had the long reception was sort of a 50-50 situation. I think that was kind of a prayer by Christian. It was pretty excellent. And then the other one that he gave up on the 4th and 4 to basically end the game, I thought that was a rub or a pick play. But that play not being called offensive pass interference was like the 13th worst call of the day. So I wasn't going to jump up and down about that because I'd been doing enough jumping up and down. And as I mentioned earlier, I mean, I think officials have a difficult job, but that's an obvious slant flat rub route on 4th down. And I cannot, in good conscience, ding any sort of a grade on Allison's play because he got beat inside on a slant flat rub.
Another guy I want to talk about here, another running back, is Seth Wilson. We talked about coming into the game how he was probably going to be seeing somewhere between 10 and 15 snaps as NDSU is dealing with injuries at the position. Not trying to be a little harsh about it, but Seth Wilson at times kind of looked like a true freshman in his first big game out there on Saturday. Would you agree, Ross?
Running the ball, he was tentative. Kind of that wide-eyed approach. I didn't think that his opportunities were blocked particularly well. I don't think that he missed some great hole, but at the same time, he didn't make much of the blocking that he was given, and that's understandable. It was really his first look. I thought he was pretty effective in the pass game. Catching the ball, especially on the 2-minute drill, I thought he looked natural, which is odd because I believe he played either 8 or 9-man football in Wisconsin, and I'm guessing with a running back as good as him, they probably threw it about 3.5 times a game. But pass pro was not good. I highlighted that. He's not a kid that you want one-on-one with a blitzing linebacker. which is, again, completely understandable. He's a freshman and has really been forced into action by an unprecedented rash of injuries at the running back position. But I think overall, you know, he'll continue to improve and hopefully be a viable player for NDSU moving forward. I think they need to get Cofield back. He's a very steady hand. And then maybe they can use Anderson and Brooks to do a few more explosive things.
And then, you know, final thing we should probably touch on here in the South Dakota State game. The marker does stay in South Dakota State's, you know, offices there for another year. We'll see if these two teams meet up in the playoffs. And, you know, it's another kind of playoff massacre. But when you look forward potentially to next year's game against South Dakota State, you know, again, we're a year off from kind of previewing this game, but I'd have to think North Dakota State's looking very likely to get the marker back.
Well, you know, you're going to learn a lot about Taryn Christian during basically all of next year. A lot of his career, in the same way that it was for Gage Gubrud, who actually after four bad games has sort of figured it out, although there are a lot of quarterbacks that can figure it out against the defenses that are in the Big Sky. A lot of his success is based on what's happened with Goddard and Winicky and being able to throw to two NFL guys. We will see the level that Taryn Christian is able to play at without those guys. And frankly, you know, Brady Mangarelli, who's having a career year, is also a senior. So Christian's going to sort of be left alone on offense. They'll bring back a lot of the defense, but I think some of the secondary were seniors as well. And NDSU just brings back a ton next season, but we won't talk too much about next year's game. I just would say that the two-year run of the Dakota marker, with, of course, an NDSU playoff victory sandwiched in between there, is likely to come to an end next season, and that will be, I think, an exciting situation for Bison players that have never understood losing to South Dakota State to go pick up that rock.
All right, let's get into the South Dakota game this weekend. Again, if NDSU wins this game, they get at least a share of the Missouri Valley Conference Championship. And when you look at the South Dakota State team, or the South Dakota team, excuse me, this season, 7-2 overall, 4-2 in conference. They started off the season white hot, six straight victories, including wins on the road at Bowling Green. They had three straight wins over ranked FCS opponents in North Dakota, Western Illinois, Youngstown State. But in the last three games, they've come back down to earth. They've lost two of their last three, including road losses to Illinois State, Northern Iowa. They did beat a Southern Illinois team 42-0, Ross. But this South Dakota team, 7-2 coming into this game, 4-2 in conference. And the big thing to talk about here is Chris Strebler. Chris Strebler being the Minnesota transfer. We've talked about him before, the FCS Tebow. And the thing to note with Chris of late is you look at all those wins, he was running the ball very effectively, getting a lot of rushing attempts. He has not been running the ball of late. I believe he's probably pretty banged up. You look at his last few games, he's only ran the ball a total of 14 times for only 29 yards. And he's thrown the ball 63 and 51 times in two of his last three games. So I think the key that we need to touch on for the South Dakota offense is stopping Chris Strebler and making sure, first and foremost, you continue to limit him with his legs.
Certainly, and then I think you have to look at what happened with Taryn Christian a week ago and have some level of concern. Now, they beat you in very different ways. Strebler, more of your Russell Wilson, or excuse me, Christian being more of your Russell Wilson, and like we mentioned, Strebler being more of your Tim Tebow style of mobile quarterback. I think Strebler probably an easier matchup for North Dakota State, as you know, his performance against NDSU last year might tell you. But the Bison still have to play better defensively. They were so good against McGuire in Western Illinois, and then again against a more statuesque passer in Eli Dunn. But that game against SDSU was a notable regression. I mean, they did not play well up front. I thought the secondary was fine. You know, Robbie Grimsley lost some one-on-one battles to Dallas Goddard, but that's going to happen. Dallas Goddard's going to beat people one-on-one. Dallas Goddard, frankly, should not be given one-on-one coverage, and a lot of NDSU's blitzing created that. South Dakota State doesn't have those weapons, so the ability to corral Strebler and still play their base zone, or very occasionally they will play man-to-man, but if they can run their normal stuff, rush four guys and drop seven into zone coverage, I think they're really going to force Strebler to throw the ball. And that's what you want to do. I mean, he has pretty good passing numbers, but he absolutely is more of a threat running the ball than he is to pick apart an NDSU pass defense.
Correct. And when you look at last year's game, I believe it was a 28-21 victory for North Dakota State last year. Chris Strebler did have success on the ground and with his arm, three total touchdowns there. But where NDSU made their hay and why they won the game was 369 rushing yards on 52 attempts. So I'd have to think, Ross, that's going to be the strategy here once again. Dominate time of possession, really get things going on the ground once again. But what are your takeaways from last year's meeting against, again, Chris Strebler was on this team last year for South Dakota.
Right, and it was a road game, and Strebler was fine, was a big part of why, you know, you talked about earlier on in South Dakota's kind of Division I foray, they were not good. I mean, they used to get beat badly by South Dakota State, by, you know, North Dakota State. Those games used to be completely non-competitive. But now with what they've been able to do with Nielsen, and frankly with Strebler, they've been pretty successful. With that said, they were able to hold Strebler under 5 yards a carry. They were able to hold him to 184 yards on 30 attempts. They were right at, you know, not a very high completion. They really were able to kind of corral what Strebler was able to do. And then, yes, they ran the ball. Lance Dunn was extremely effective. King Frazier was effective. They gave Easton Stick 7 carries. They're not going to have that this year. Obviously, King Frazier graduated and Lance Dunn is gone. But you have Anderson in the Frazier role. You have Brooks in the Dunn role. If they can get the offensive line moving, and I really think that's been sort of part of the struggle of late, is I have not seen great push and great nastiness from the offensive line. I don't know how well Messner's playing. I'm not convinced that Kunert is 100%. You would like to see Colin Connor in his second year be a little bit more dominant. I just need to see the Bison offensive line look like they looked at the beginning of the season and maybe utilize Luke Bacon a little more in spots.
And when you look at the South Dakota team, I mentioned it again, they were white hot to start the season, but they've cooled off of late. Losses in 2 of their last 3 games, including on the road at Cedar Falls last weekend. And maybe this is just me nitpicking, looking at stats, but those 2 losses were the only 2 games where Chris Strebler had to throw for over 400 yards on the day. So again, an NDSU team coming off a loss, South Dakota coming off a loss. Again, somebody's going to get the win on Saturday, but curious what your thoughts are with South Dakota kind of going through a rough patch right now.
Well, I think the whole team really is predicated on what Strebler does. Not that they have an untalented roster, but he's just so good and has been such a big part of the turnaround with Bob Nielsen at, you know, in Vermilion. He's been their entire offense. He's either running it or throwing it, and he's getting hit on, I would say, 75% of the plays because he's running the ball, he's throwing the ball, and he's either, you know, completing a pass without getting touched, completing a pass, getting hit, taking a sack, or running the football. He's getting hit a lot, and he's a big, strong kid. That's why we call him FCS Tebow. But a guy can only take so many hits without landing awkwardly or, you know, getting knocked in a rib or a shoulder or an elbow or whatever. I mean, you just cannot take that kind of beating at the quarterback position. That's why they wear the red jerseys in practice. I think they are kind of struggling as he struggles basically to run the football. I don't think they want to expose him to any type of injury, and that's why the running has been limited, and I don't think he can beat North Dakota State just sitting back in the pocket and slinging the ball around. With that said, NDSU is bulletproof after a loss. They have not lost 2 consecutive games since 2009, despite virtually every time they've lost a game, all NDSU fans claiming that the sky is falling and the program is over. But this, I think, is going to be sort of a bounce-back game. I think USD is maybe trending in the wrong direction. At the same time, though, they're going to be pretty desperate because if they lose this game, it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on them to beat South Dakota State, or they're going to end up in a road playoff game where they originally thought they might be Missouri Valley Football Conference champions.
And then when you look at South Dakota defensively, they haven't been great of late. Again, you lose two ball games probably because you're not scoring more points than the other team. That's a lead analysis. But they've given up 37 points and 34 points in two of their last three games. So this is a team that can be exploited on the defensive side of the ball.
And that's where NDSU's offense just needs to get going again. I haven't seen them play a really clean game in a while. They scored plenty of points against Western Illinois and Northern Iowa, but they still turned the ball over. They still struggled. I think they really need to be more explosive in what they do. I need to see more Desmond Cain. I need to see more Ty Brooks. And it wouldn't kill them to maybe, you know, try and get Sean Engel involved vertically. I don't think this is a great USD secondary. Maybe this is the time where you do a little play action pass, and even if he's covered, just give him a shot and let him try to use his verticality. I think that's what you signed him for, and I feel like they really do have to at least, you know, give that a shot. I really believe that this is a game that NDSU has to play well on offense if you're going to honestly think that they're going to win the national championship this year, because right now, if they don't get an A-plus effort from their offense or from their defense, and I mean A-plus, I don't think they could beat James Madison in a national championship setting playing offense at the level that they're currently doing it.
All right, so let's get into your prediction for this game. With no site that I know of, you know, displaying the opening line for this game, I know that I looked yesterday, and obviously I have the line in front of me right now. I believe NDSU was a 7 or 8 point home favorite yesterday. The line, as we currently sit here on Thursday, is a 10-point NDSU home favorite. The over/under here being 54. Ross, so when you look at this game, how do you see it playing out? And could NDSU potentially be clinching at least a share of the Missouri Valley Conference title?
I'm going to hedge a little bit, which is maybe a little bit cowardly, but I had accurately picked a lot of the wide spreads.
You certainly have, and I hope folks have been potentially making a little bit of little dough on the side of it.
But then, you know, I pick a 30-10 victory against South Dakota State, and they lose that game pretty handily. I'm going to hedge just a fraction, and I'm going to go pretty much right where the line is. I think 27-17 is something you could see out of this game. I think NDSU has the ability to keep Strebler under 20 points. But until I really see some explosiveness from this offense, I'm going to sort of hedge on that and hope, I guess, that Stick gets healthy over the next couple of weeks and then really uses that bye over Thanksgiving weekend to be 100% moving into the playoffs. Because I think, as with any QB, but specifically with Easton Stick, he's the straw that stirs the drink.
He certainly is. And so we want to thank you guys for listening here once again. And just so folks, you know, we have a lot of content coming up here on the Bison Report. I know that I'm just waiting on an email back from some people at the Argus Leader so we can get a Know Your Enemy with South Dakota State beat, or with South Dakota beat writer McGarry. And then, Ross, I know you got a few things coming out here in the next 48 hours, the next 72 hours, and early next week. So you want to talk about that and bring us out?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be getting you the I think I'm probably going to be able to get you guys the basketball preview sometime tomorrow. As usual, we will drop the game preview for the day in the morning so that you've got something to read at the tailgate or at your home while you're getting ready to watch the game. And then Ryan and I should be able to provide a basketball preview podcast sometime next week as well. You guys have had the opportunity to listen to a pretty extensive interview with the head ball coach, but I also had a chance to talk to Dangu, Paul Miller, and I believe Tyson Ward, but I have to go back in all the archives and see, because we did talk to those guys a little bit earlier in the preseason. But if I've got all those, you know, we'll cut those up. We'll talk a little hoops, and it should be very exciting. The Bison start the season with UC Santa Barbara on Saturday, and then I believe travel to Los Angeles to take on USC, who is nationally ranked.
So you want to take us out?
Yeah, thank you guys again for listening. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Bison Report, it's something I strongly suggest that you do. Most of what I do is free, but a lot of what Ryan does is the best in the business as far as NDSU recruiting is concerned. information you're just not going to find anywhere else. And I believe that it's worth the $5 a month that we charge. Not only that, but, you know, it supports us. I mean, it keeps me going and it keeps him going. So we would really appreciate that. Also, if you would like, give this podcast a 5-star review and maybe leave a comment on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever podcasting medium you find us on. It helps us become more easier to find for Bison fans and helps us grow. I thank you all once again. Go Bison.